Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brothers.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a surprisingly sunny and balmy morning here in Connecticut, even though it's supposed to thunder and rain for 10 days and 10 nights.
It's hot and sticky.
Yeah. It's not like we have anything we have to do, fall projects and stuff we have to get done around
our
yard.
How about those storms, though, the other day? Holy shnikes. Yeah. I drove from Walker Correctional up in Southfield, all the way down to New Haven, which is roughly about an hour ride.
Right? Oh, those storms are all up north, too.
And, dude, it took me 2 hours to get back.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Did you hit any hail? There was some
hail, but, man, that rain was, like, whew.
Torrential.
I watched lightning strike the MT Bank building in Hartford.
Nice.
It was crazy.
God's getting his revenge on the insurance capital of the world. We're not going to talk about that. Oh, my God. Here we go.
No, I'm done.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your host, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudger.
And regular Worshipful Brother Ken. No purple over here.
Not yet. You'll get there.
Purple, you just don't have the title.
You got purple, you just don't got the title. You'll get it, though. You'll get it.
I'm not interested. I'm not.
Really?
Not really.
I thought you wanted to be a district deputy.
I have no immediate aspirations to do that, do anything that takes more time away from my family right now.
Fair enough.
That's kind of that. I got to balance, you know.
Yeah.
We all have our 24-inch gauges.
I got a 12.
Yours is more like a 3, but.
12 gauge. I got a 12 gauge.
You just missed that joke.
I got it. Your infantile penis jokes.
Yes. It was a pee-pee joke.
Did you ever hear, you ever see that movie, Grumpy Old Men?
Yes, of course.
Oh,
yeah.
That movie's a classic with Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon.
And Jack Lemmon. Yeah.
Oh, my God. The one.
May they rest in peace.
There's one scene in it where he's like, he's talking about dating that chick. And he's like, oh, I'm the gangster of love. Hearts. He's like, gangster of love, huh? Is it more of a hold up than a stick up? Even your rare infantile penis jokes have a certain luster this morning. That movie was great, man. That was hysterical. Those guys were funny as hell.
It was wholesome.
It was classy. I mean, yeah,
they don't make movies like, they don't make movies or any kind of like comedies like that anymore. Everything's got to be dark. Everything has to be like.
Well, apparently this needs to be said. This is not a children's show, so please,
if
kids listening, don't do it. But anyway, in the movie,
this one's definitely not going to be.
Like those two were like the best of friends. Like even in the movie, like they would just come over, hey, dickhead.
Yeah. In real life, they were like really good friends too.
Yeah. They made a whole bunch of Out to Sea. They made a whole bunch. Shit. You can go back before even like the quote unquote modern movies. They made movies all the way to like the 60s and 70s.
Oh, yeah. They were actors for a long time.
Very long time.
Class acts.
Anyway, today, we're not going to be talking about that shit. Today, we're going to be doing the differences on why Freemasonry is not a cult.
Not a cult.
Not a cult. And we're going to talk about it. Here's how I came to this topic, because everybody asks me, how the hell did you come up with these topics? Well, a couple of reasons. One, there's a great game on Xbox called Far Cry 5, and you're basically a U.S. Marshal, and you're going to serve a warrant to a cult member who's kind of taken over this entire valley in Montana.
Is that what Far Cry is about?
There's a bunch of different Far Crys. Like Far Cry 6.
You never get into those
You're
games.
Fighting the cartels, I think it is.
But you're always a U.S. Marshal.
No. Far Cry Primal. It's like a caveman type thing. Like you're
what?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. But anyway, Far Cry 5, I like. And you're basically fighting a cult that has this plant that's creates this stuff called bliss, and basically they're drugging people. And so you have to basically go around, you have to fight them all and stop them all. Okay, so that is number one. And number two is there's also a show on Netflix, which is a really good show, actually. And it's narrated by Peter Dinklage.
Okay.
From Game of Thrones. And it is so awkward to hear him, because he is American. But to hear
with
him
with a British accent.
Not with the British accent.
Oh, yeah.
Talking like an American is creep.
I saw some interviews with him when that show was running. And, yeah, to hear him speak without an accent is disturbing.
I mean, granted, I'm sure English people feel the same way about Americans doing a British accent, you know what I mean, and vice versa, but like, there are some people that, like, I'm like, what? Like, for instance, Rick Grimes.
Oh, yeah.
From Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's English or Australian, but...
Oh, yeah, but he's definitely...
Oh, my God, dude.
He's got a thick accent, too.
Yeah.
It's not, like, an easy one.
Like, what?
They have really
good
voice.
How do you go
from
Carl?
Yeah.
To like, good eye, mate. Cheerio.
Carl.
Like, what the... what is happening? Another one is House MD.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that guy's British.
He was a douchebag in that show, and he played it a perfect American douchebag.
Yeah.
And then he spoke, I'm like, what? Yeah. Like,
they've got good coaches. Good voice coaches.
Yeah,
good,
that's wild.
Coaches. Yeah.
Even Emilia Clarke. I was watching... she played, actually... what's her name? In Game of Thrones. She played the blonde chick.
Oh, not Khaleesi.
Yeah, Khaleesi. She
was,
played Khaleesi.
Okay, all right.
Daenerys Stormborn, right?
Dragon
She's
Queen,
English, but I watched her in Terminator Genesis. Don't ask me why I watched Terminator Genesis, because it was like...
That was an abysmal movie.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
But she played Sarah Connor, spoke with a perfect American accent.
Yeah.
Creepy as shit. I'm sorry. It bugs me out. Anyway,
agreed.
Moving on. So I was watching this show. Do you want to switch over to YouTube? Do you mind?
Oh.
So I can talk to people. Nobody wants to talk to us.
Nobody's talking to us. Nobody's even watching. Is it too early in the morning for you people?
Oh, five
there's
people
seven,
watching.
There's seven people. Six people currently watching.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking.
It's Sunday morning and it's shitty out. I don't blame them. I wouldn't be talking either.
Depends on where you are in the world.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway, I'm watching this show. It's called How to Be a Cult Leader.
How to be a cult leader. So it's like a how-to guide on...
It's jokingly a how-to guide, but they talk about all the traits that a cult leader has, in a sense. So we're gonna break down that.
How many of them do you have?
All of them. That is a joke, conspiracy theorists. I don't need my face on Twitter or X or whatever the hell you call it. I'm not a cult leader. I've never aspired to be a cult leader. I can't save people. I can damn you to hell, but I can't save people.
No, he's dragged us all down with him.
But anyway, it talks about all the traits of like cult leaders and the things that they do and cults in general. But it's a good show. So that's kind of how I came up with this. And I'm like, wow, this is nothing like Freemasonry. We're going to talk about it. But first, housekeeping. Want me fluff your pillow?
Want to do Instagram first?
Yep, go.
Okay. Over on Instagram, a whole bunch of new followers. Thank you, brothers and friends. We got Jude Black, Chewy Mole, Kennedy Omandi, Northside, Joram Makuru, Wesley Pass AH First. Don't know what that means. James Engel, Max Carr, Sean Coots, Corey Luttrell. Some of these names sound familiar. Might be Discordians as well.
Mm-hmm.
EF Gang something, TaylorMade, Will Johnson, Jim Fletcher, ARLS.
TaylorMade, like the golf equipment?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Next sponsor.
ARLS. I'm not sure what this is. It looks like York Rite Bodies or something, and maybe Central America. It's in Spanish.
Okay.
And I'm really not good at pronouncing it. Guardio de Jerusalem. I don't know. Whoever you guys are, thank you, brothers. Michael Arche, Lightlink Regalia, Bob Painter, Edward Kobielko. Sorry, man.
Close enough.
Jace Chance Hall, Miguel Layson Katina, Zach Winter, Osaro Harriet, Ray Bolger, Celeste Sanders, Steve Borland, Safraz Muhammad. Christopher Libby, Alex Edmondson, Philly Phil, Norm, Gino Maragellano, Oh, uh-huh. I got it. First try.
Good job.
And H. Tomsey. Thank you, brothers and friends.
Just so for point of interest, we are up to 205 ratings on Apple.
Wow.
Thank you all.
Yeah.
Appreciate you all.
We know how much work that takes.
Except for you one stars. You can kiss my ass. Anyway, moving on. That was a joke.
As long as it's constructive criticism, we don't mind.
If you're going to put a one star, at least like
Say something.
Or before you put the one star, because you're a douche and you just want to be a douche. Like, say, hey, man, I don't like this. I don't like that. And not like the guy who said it the other day on YouTube. Who was like, oh, I see you guys are doing a podcast. You're not at church. Really? Shut up. We're not at church. How do you know what we do on our vocation? I'm pretty sure that church isn't just on Sundays, even if we did go. Yeah. Secondly,
we do our time. Also, how dare you assume that we are of one religion or another? You know,
on all religious bodies. You're judging us because we're doing a podcast and not at church. And I'm pretty sure that there was somebody who said, "Judge not, for ye shall be judged."
Yeah, Jesus basically ran his own podcast. You know, before podcasts were a thing.
Right up
he
your
didn't
ass.
Have the technology. He would have had a podcast.
He would have had a podcast. Mm-hmm. He would have got the word out. Maybe that's what we're doing. Maybe that's what we're doing. We're getting the
not
word out.
Really?
No. All right, 5-star review. Oh, let's toast these.
Indeed.
In instas.
With our water.
With my Celsius.
Whatever.
Because I can't drink Red Bull no more. Because apparently somebody rolls pearls in his kidneys. Moving on. Go ahead.
Oh, gross. brother, right hand to arms.
Two arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire, good fire. Fire all. Together, brother.
Vivat. I need a volcano with my stealthy.
Yeah, I got a little
shot
bit of
it
shower
all over there. The goddamn counter. Anyway.
It's all right. It's a mess anyway. We got to clean this up.
5-star review.
All right.
This is coming from Loch Ness Tree 50.
Okay.
5-star review. Podcast is great. Podcast is fantastic. As someone who has recently became a Mason and someone who is into the esoteric and occult, this podcast is great listen. However, the intro music is terrible. Oh, God!
Had to be something.
Damn it! What do you mean the intro music? It is amazing.
We probably should update it.
No!
But it is a classic.
It is.
It's classic.
Never surrender!
Yeah. I mean, it's
in the 80s.
It's like the embodiment of what we are. It's perfect. But
come on, whatever. Loch Ness. Watch the movie The Wraith. Then, exactly. Then you'll be amped up. Like you know what? Best song ever.
I wonder if this is the brother from Connecticut, because I think he said that he was into esoteric and.
Hey, if he's into esoteric,
same guy.
We need to have Alex on again, because that dude is. I'm just going to shut up that entire episode and let Alex go, because that dude.
He runs the weekly. monthly esoteric club at Harmony Lodge, and
he always has
material,
shit.
And so that's how you know the guy knows his stuff when it comes to esoteric topics and symbolism.
He said, glad there's a fast forward button. Now you know what I'm going to do? Now here's what I'm going to do. Next time I upload it, in the middle of our show, I'm just going to just plug it in.
Yeah, like the entire song too, right? Like all 5.5 minutes of it.
At just at random times, I'll be like mid-conversation, never surrender. I'm just going to hit him. Bam, right in the middle of a deep thought, too. Pow, drop it.
Now it's in my head.
When your back's against the wall. Next one. B-T-K-I-R-B-O. Bitkerbo.
Okay, we'll go with that.
We'll go with it. Alrighty then. Amazing show. 5-star review. What's up?
Hi. How are you?
I am from Piedmont Lodge 152 in Virginia.
Right on.
Right
Welcome,
on.
Brother.
Discovered the show a few weeks back and have been listening almost every day. Awesome show and very interesting topics. Some of them.
Thank you. Sometimes
we're just stupid and we just go on. Hairs.
Yep. Keep listening. You'll find them.
Usually me. I'm currently an EA and will soon be an FC, so I'm learning the history of the fraternity with your assistance. Keep it up, brothers. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, brother.
Learning the history of it. Listen, take us with a grain of salt. Some of the shit we come up with. It's not true.
Well, we do plant the seed.
We plant the seed. You know? We make people think, but just, I do appreciate it.
Do your own research. Come to your own conclusions.
We come up with our own shit sometimes, and we go off on tears. I mean, I'm pretty good with going off on a rant for
at least once per episode. Yeah,
from time to time. Anyway, thank you. Let's
toast them. All right.
By the right hand to arms.
To arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire. Good fire. Fire all. Almost screwed up my own fucking toast. Mm-hmm. Together, brother.
Gently now.
Vivat, vivat, vivat. Didn't want another Krakatoa all over the counter over here.
That's all right. Anyway. We'll get housekeeping in here to clean this mess up later. By housekeeping, I mean me.
Cults. So you belong to a cult. Tell me about it.
Do I? Think out of all the organizations that I belong to, I don't know that any have ever been called a cult outside of Freemasonry.
So let's talk about the difference between Freemasonry and a cult. So I'm just going to bring it up for point of reference because there's going to be shit that I'm going to. Let's type in.
And we're talking cults, not a cult, right? Because we did do another episode about Freemasonry and the occult.
No, cult.
Cult.
Okay, so the occult is symbology.
Yes.
Whereas
hidden knowledge and so forth. And that is not what we are talking about.
Oh my God.
What?
I meant to type in cults and I typed in something else.
Well, I'd love to hear about the similarities between Freemasonry and that.
I switched an L with an N.
Yeah, you didn't have to spell it out. We could all figure it out, George.
I can't believe I did that. I'm sorry.
What's Google say about that?
I got out of the screen.
It's just a picture of George Mudry. Google image search. Him and
I can't believe I did that. Oh,
in his leprechaun costume.
The N's not even near the L.
Muscle memory, brother.
Oh, I can't even make this shit up. I can't believe I did that. I apologize. All right, so we're going to go over. I just pulled this up on goddamn pop-ups. I just brought up characteristics of a cult. All right, and we're going to go over some stuff here. We're going to compare the contrast and comparisons. We'll do it fair. We'll do Josh Mantello and I join you cult.
And I join you cult? Maybe he's saying, can I join your cult?
Yeah.
I don't know. Josh, you need some coffee, brother.
So we're going to go over just we'll do a fair comparison. We'll do the pros, not pros and cons, but the possibilities and the definite differences between the two.
We have to take an objective definition of cult first, right, that everybody can agree with.
I'm a mic.
And then we can talk about whether or not Freemasonry fits in.
Correct.
With that definition.
So let's go to the first one. Common elements are found. Authoritarian control. Mm-hmm. Cultism hinges on encouraging maximum dependency. People in a cult must feel incapable of living an individual life outside the norms of the group. These beliefs often go hand in hand with worshipful attitude toward a group's authoritarian leader. All right, so right off the top, that's not Freemasonry. We have multiple lodges with multiple worshipful masters and multiple grandmasters of each state. There's not one guy who's running the show. Contrary to popular belief, there's not one guy running the show. We're all individual basis. You can come and go as you please.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to show up to lodge? You don't show up to lodge.
Yep.
Hopefully you're not an officer.
Yeah.
You don't have to give your personal belongings to the craft. You don't have to. One of the traits of a cult is you have to give all of your, what is it, Jonestown? Where he actually made them give up their real estate and their cars and their possessions, and they had to live in a commune, which is a common trait for cults in a sense.
It's easier to rule over someone if you take away their individuality.
You pack up your shit and you move to Guyana, and that's Jonestown, which we're talking about. Or even David Koresh. They all lived on a compound.
Yep.
Freemasonry doesn't have any compounds.
No.
The only thing we have is the Masonicare, and trust me, it's a hospital. Ain't nobody living up in Masonicare unless you're of elderly and you're being taken care of. We don't do that, and not for nothing. I would probably... I don't know if I could live with my lodge members. I don't know.
No. I mean, I love them like family, but yeah.
I mean, a perfect example, we came in here and Ken said this place was tossed.
A little bit, yeah.
And, I mean, not that I'm the cleanest individual.
But I'm kind of a neat freak, right? So, but yes, that would be the first thing that comes to mind about my lodge brothers, too.
I wake up in the morning and I see a beer can with ashes on the top of it. Someone's catching a beating. It's just that simple.
Yep. We know better, boys. Come on.
That's not going to happen. Yeah, so there's no one charismatic leader that everybody follows. That's running the show. Contrary to popular belief, there is no hierarchy of Freemasonry. There's a hierarchy of Freemasonry, but there's not one guy at the top. There's no prophet. There's no any of that stuff.
Right. And at the end of the day, we're all principally on the level, right? Which means we're all...
Nobody's better than the other.
Right. From the grandmaster all the way to the newest entered apprentice, we're all equal in the eyes of Freemasonry, right? Right. Like, that's something that comes up over and over and over in our rituals and in our tenets. And if you have that as like the basis of your organization, you can't have authoritarianism, right? But there is a key word in what you said there called, you know, you said worshipful.
Yeah.
And I'm sure all the tinfoil hat wearing psychos out there are like, well, worshipful master.
I paused on that too.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Having a worshipful attitude towards someone is different than the word worshipful as we use it. Correct. Worshipful means worthy of respect in the title worshipful master or most worshipful grandmaster. It doesn't mean that you are deferential to that person. Yeah. You're not worshiping him. He's just worthy of respect.
Yep.
He's still a Mason, just like everyone else.
Correct.
And in fact, most of the grandmasters that you meet are just normal people. They're like, man, just call me brother. I don't want any special treatment when I come and visit you in lodge. I'm just your brother.
And to that point, you're fired after a year in Connecticut. Like, you do one term. You're not guaranteed to do two terms or three terms or four terms or five terms or lifetime terms. That doesn't happen.
Yep.
You're fired after 1 year. The end.
David Koresh didn't have term limits.
He didn't have term limits. No, there was no election going in Waco compound. Heaven's Gate?
Heaven's Gate, yeah.
They didn't have no elections or anything like that.
I don't think there was a democracy there.
No, neither was the Japanese guy. What the hell was the name of that cult?
Japanese guy.
The dude who was doing all the freaking chemical warfare attacks in the Tokyo subways and shit.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
That was in the 90s, I think it was.
Huh.
But there was no elections. You didn't get fired. Yeah.
And that's an interesting thing, too, right? I mean, we vote on pretty much everything in Freemasonry.
Correct.
We vote on whether bills get paid. We vote on new members. There's ballots for pretty much everything, right?
And I mean, but let's be real. Let's be completely honest. Sometimes there is disharmony in a lodge.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about harmony and everybody gets along and, you know, Masons are... we generally get along. I mean, it never... I won't say never because I don't know this for sure, but it rarely turns bad. You know what I mean?
No,
but
never in my experience.
But there's disharmony. There's times where it's like, oh, let's get this, let's get that. I want to spend, you know, $5,000 on a fucking cotton candy machine.
Oh, people God. I knew you were going to go with the popcorn machine or the cotton candy.
Yeah, I'm just saying. And people are like, no, we're not spending on stupid shit. Like,
and why? Because we have individuality and we're encouraged to have individual thoughts. That's what Freemasonry is about. It's about free thought. Well, if you have that, you're going to have some discord as long as we have rules in place where, you know, it doesn't come to fisticuffs in a lodge or something like that. If we were a cult, there would be no encouragement of us having our own ideas. Or you wouldn't have that.
Just want to hit this question real quick because this is a pretty good one. C. Sirkins, due to those conspiracies of worship, and would you prefer venerable master over worshipful master?
I mean, it sounds cooler.
Well, let me I'll tackle this real quick from my point of view on this one. No, here's why. Because why should we change something we've used time immemorial because of conspiracy theorists? They can kiss my ass. Like, we're not going to change who we are. We're not going to change our word and terminology. I mean, we do this in society today, which burns my ass more than anything. I'm not going to change. I wouldn't want to change, you know, because people have a problem with it. scratch off. Like, go away. You know what I mean? Like, so... Venerable does sound cooler, though, doesn't it?
It does sound cooler.
It does sound cooler.
I mean, I guess from that perspective, I wouldn't hate it. But yes, from the standpoint of the fact that we have... There's historical lineage to pretty much all of our ritual, right? I mean, and one of the cool things about Freemasonry is you're made a Mason. You're going through essentially the same ceremony that, like, George Washington did. And
I mean, not for nothing, we call each other brother. What if we started calling each other people?
Yeah, no.
People with penises.
Yeah, that changes the
entire... I'm not going to change shit for you. Like, no. Yeah. Go away.
Yep.
So, in that respect, no, I wouldn't change anything because of the conspiracy theorists. And realistically, I don't care what they have to say. Like, a lot of them, I see...
Venerable does have a...
I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole.
A similar meaning, I guess. We do use that term.
I see what you're doing there, Sea Circans. You're trying to fire me up again.
In our Connecticut ritual, we do use that term venerable, though. Do you remember where we use it?
Negative.
You know, the...
Get the shot collar, because I lost on this one.
The wayfaring man?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, venerable one.
Yeah. Many jurisdictions from other countries use venerable. Yeah, that's cool. However they use in other jurisdictions, as long as you're not changing words and terminology because of pressure.
Right, yeah. I mean, if you've always used that term in your jurisdiction, awesome. It has the same meaning, essentially, right? Venerable, worthy of respect, same kind of thing, so...
I mean, it's no different than New York, right? They call their masters or their leaders of their chapter council. They're called different.
Yeah, they all have different titles.
They all have different titles.
There's some wacky titles out there, too.
I was a sublime prince of the Elm City Council, Prince of Jerusalem, when I was in Scottish Rite, and I was called Sovereign Prince.
Sublime Prince.
Sovereign Prince. Sublime Prince is the 32nd degree. But yeah, I mean, they all use different titles, and that's fine as long as you're not changing it under pressure because, are you going to change the name because conspiracy? Hell with them.
Yeah. Although,
change conspiracy.
We have changed elements of our ritual over time, and I think some of it was due to pressure.
I don't like it.
I'm not a fan of it either, but.
Should have left it the way that Ben Franklin in the 1700s, they had it set, but whatever. Don't get me going.
It's a fine line. As soon as you start changing things, it's like everything is on the table at that point.
Pretty much.
You gotta be careful.
Extremist beliefs. Cult members hold a very dogmatic and extreme beliefs. They are also unable to question these belief systems without fear of reprisal or punishment from the leader or other group members. Okay. Mm. Let's talk about that. We don't hold any extremist beliefs.
Contrary to popular belief. In fact, when you boil down all the beliefs, they're pretty much those that are shared by all of the world's religions.
And well,
it works out fairly well, right?
So. The other point to that is that, you know, we are also told as Masons to be peaceable,
right,
in society. We're not meant to raise hell and start trouble and stuff like that. We're told to keep it under wraps. You know, do the right thing.
Yep.
Whereas extreme belief people, such as cults. They will die. They will draw a line in the sand, and they will die for what they believe in. We as Masons have our own opinions and stuff. Mm-hmm. Joe's got different opinions than me. You got different opinions than Joe. Like, we all hold our own, you know, beliefs in a sense. You know, so there's not a you have to follow this, or, you know, and there's no fear of reprisal. Like, if you don't agree with a worshipful master, you don't agree with what the lodge is doing, in a sense, you're not going to get lynched or shivved up in the parking lot. Like, no. You know what I mean? Like,
but I am going to play.
You might get called an asshole, but I mean, you know,
I'm going to play the other side of the coin.
Okay.
All right.
Have at it.
So, a shared system of beliefs. Do we have that in Freemasonry?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah, we all take the same obligation, right? We all make the same promises to uphold certain behavioral standards. Now, they're not draconian. They're pretty standard stuff, like be a good person, do unto others, these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But if you violate your obligation, is there fear of reprisal?
Yeah. You can get reprimand, suspension, or expulsion.
Brought up on Masonic charges.
Now... Right? Let me piggyback off of that. Okay. There is a certain point of the third obligation where something is left up to your choice.
Right.
In a quote fear of reprisal or fear based thing, you wouldn't get no choices.
Right.
You're gonna again, I'm trying not to give too much here, but you know, there's a certain pretty two bad charge, two bad things that somebody can do. We'll just go in Benedict Arnold, believe it or not.
Right.
And these are left up to your own choosing, whether or not you want to protect that brother or whatever the case may be.
Right. In those very specific circumstances.
Yeah. Now, my thing is, though, like, if you were part of a cult, you defend your cult member to the death. Like, there's no, it's left up to your choice. Yeah, like, there wouldn't, for instance, there wouldn't be a David Koresh situation where, I think I'm going to sell this guy out. That wouldn't be happening. I'm going to go talk to the FBI or the ATF or whatever body. I'm gonna sell this guy out because the
as
cult
a cult member
would not let you do that.
Yeah,
with us, yeah, you can get sold out.
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of do whatever you want. You're still an independent citizen.
Still an independent.
At the end of the day, this is a volunteer organization, right? We pay dues. We uphold certain behavioral characteristics, which are, you know, delineated in our obligations. If you violate them, you're in trouble with the fraternity. Mm-hmm. You know, if you become a felon or something, we don't want you in our lodge anymore. But we're not going to, like, take all of your worldly possessions and, like, defame your name in public.
Or realistically kill you.
Right, or any of those other penalties that you would see from cults, get torture, all that kind of stuff.
We don't do that.
We don't do that as an organization. Yeah. And, of course, the tinfoil hat wearers out there will say, well, you're just saying that, or you're not high enough up in the fraternity. Well,
I know a couple of brothers who have violated their obligations, and they're still alive and kicking. We'll just leave
absolutely.
It at that.
Yep.
Isolation from society. As soon as new members join a cult, other adherents work hard to isolate them from family members and friends. This helps fulfill the mind control aspirations of the leader. It also creates a hive mind of sorts between the new person and other members. Yeah, we don't do that. As a matter of fact, contrary to that, Freemasonry is all about family. And mm-hmm. you know, when a member of a craft dies, there's typically we try to stay in contact with the widow and the family to make sure mm-hmm. that they're good to go. So we don't. We don't tell them, don't talk to your family anymore. We don't do that shit. Realistically, we invite families to come to our events. We, you know, and they're free to leave afterward. We're not trying to convert them in any way. On top of that, a cult takes, they take everybody. They're like a Protestant graveyard. They take everybody. You know, they don't. but you know what I mean? Like, we as Freemasons, especially in this jurisdiction, we're men only. In order to be a cult, you need men, women, definitely children, because you're propagating and making sure that your cult survives generations by bringing in younger ones. This is why you have, and I'm not calling the Mormon Church a cult or anything, but there's polygamy. And what they do is they marry, they have multiple wives, and they the whole purpose is the more children you have,
the more cult soldiers you have. Yeah.
You're expanding your cult, your religion. And again, not all polygamists are cult members. I'm just using it as an example.
It's a typical aspect of actual cults that polygamy is a encouraged thing. Yes. Yeah, we got to draw a line there.
Josh Mantello, ever since joining Freemasonry, I see my family less. One night a month, right?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, Josh. It depends on how many appendant bodies you belong to. It can absolutely consume your life. But we are also taught, as one of our tenets, that we have to divide our time. And this is something we alluded to earlier when we were talking about, we got all these projects we have to do around the house.
You think you need to Masons need to think about that before they go and just start saying yes, because they're getting their ass patted, you know.
I 100%
agree.
You get
the pat on the ass to, hey, man, join this pending body. You can move up pretty quick.
One of the first lessons that you learn, one of the first three principal lessons when you become an entered apprentice is to divide your time. You have a duty to God. That's right. God. So you should worship however you decide to worship, even if you're not on church on Sunday because you're running a podcast. Your duty to God, your family. Uh-huh. Right? And your usual vocations. So you're supposed to divide your time.
Yourself.
You're not dividing your time in a cult.
Nope.
If they're trying to take your family
away. As a matter of fact,
so.
Contrary, case in point to that, one of the the things that the cults do is they make you work an insane amount of time. Like Jonestown, they were talking about when they were building all those buildings and stuff, they work 14, 15-hour days.
Yeah, because you don't have time to think about, you know, whether or not you made a poor decision.
Am I doing this the right? Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Adam Brooks, great topic. Although I think we should discuss if the Lollipop Guild is considered a cult or not. Son of a bitch. You go with this freaking...
ask George about that. They seemed pretty happy.
I got nothing.
The Lollipop Guild guys, they knew... They knew how to rock.
Yeah, but see, so do cults, though. They seem happy singing, he's got the whole
That's
world
true. In his yeah. Head. You gotta look behind the curtain.
So anyway, point to that, we don't isolate. We don't isolate. You're after Lodge, you're free to go wherever the hell you want. You are free to go do whatever you want. It's more of a personal thing that you should do the right thing. And veneration of a single individual. This is what we were already talking about. Charismatic leaders are often the center of most cults. Consider the Manson family of the late 1960s. As their name suggests, they adopted the beliefs of their leader, Charles Manson, and fulfilled his requests. The same pattern repeats in almost all other cults, albeit to less violent ends in many cases. Yeah, so, we don't venerate one person. And, you know, as a matter of fact, we don't claim to be prophets. So again, you know, if you, let's just play devil's advocate here. You know, the higher you get higher titles. Most worshipful being a grandmaster, me, right worshipful brother being a district deputy. It doesn't, by no means does that say that I'm better than anybody else.
Every organization needs a hierarchy.
It needs a hierarchy. It needs a form of government, if you will, so that you don't have just mass pandemonium and people doing whatever the hell they want, which actually is worse so than having a higher power, a higher person who's like running it all. Let's be real. I mean, anarchy is worse than freaking having a control structure.
Mm-hmm. And we don't venerate people and like put them on a pedestal.
Nobody's called a prophet.
Yeah, you're not a deity just because you're grandmaster. Yeah. We have a couple past grandmasters in our lodge, and they come in and they say, "Hey, brother, just call me brother." One of the guys, I love him to death. I call him Most Worshipful Brother every time I see him because it's a respect thing. And he's like, "Just call me brother. Stop doing that." You know, if somebody thinks they're a god, they're not going to. You know,
it's not the lash they fear. It's my divine power.
What is that from
300?
300, yeah. That's,
yep. I always say that shit in
the weird bald Persian guy.
I do that in Discord a lot. Like when people are like, "Hey man, fantasy football starting." I think it was Josh. James Devaney. He was like, "Hey, can you reopen the
FFL channel?
FFL chat." Yeah. And so I went and did it. And then the next thing I do is I put that like. with Xerxes standing with his arms open, going to hug. Leonidas,
have I not delivered for my people? Although, you know, today is game day too.
Yes, it
today is kind of the official. I don't see Thursday as the official start of the season because that's Prime Day. All right, it's just Amazon Sunday. Today is the first day of football, and
we started it up. League's going.
Yeah,
so we're gonna get going.
May the best amateur win.
Is Discord a cult? I feel a little cultish.
That's different.
So, Discord, $5 a month. You can join it. Is it a cult? The green is definitely a cult. They're gangrene is definitely a cult.
There are some niche groups.
If you come into Discord, full disclaimer, they're going to roast you. Don't be a Sally. It happens to everybody.
Yep.
It's all also, don't come in as an asshole. Come in humble. You're not going to teach anybody anything. Everybody are, you know, like, just...
Yep. But if you join next year, unfortunately, because we just started it, we have a fantasy football league that's open to Discordians and the hosts, the three of us play as well, as we do. We're not particularly good, but whatever.
There's other appending bodies. You can join in there. You can ask questions. I mean, there's the Masonic information. There's no ball busting in that one. It's straight up. You have a question about infantry. What?
Infantry.
I have no idea. You have a question about
Freemasonry.
You ask it in there, and you'll get an honest answer. The jar, that's
Yeah, the jar is just kind of like free-for-all. It's like a free chat, right? Because there are topics that we have.
It's an after lodge. Let's be real. It's an after lodge. That's what it's meant to be.
Yeah. It's like when we do after-hours episodes.
Todd Gardner.
The entire channel's like that. So if you're into that,
Todd Gardner,
do join.
Yo, been a long time since I've seen the episode live. Well, welcome. Glad to see you guys are doing well. We're doing as well as we can. My lodge is doing okay with more people joining. Bingo.
Hey, that's what it's all about.
The country will need masonry again as it did in 1776. We'll leave that alone.
Yeah, that could be interpreted several different ways.
We'll harken back to alternate universe episode where we talked about the Second Civil War.
Leave
it there. Serkins, have y'all read or seen about the most recent Russian Jesus cult? Bunch of happy-looking people. No, I have not, but I will look into it now. All right, let's move on to the next. So we pretty much put a fork in that one.
I think so.
Four types of cults. And we can compare this to Freemasonry. Doomsday cults. Certain cults come together to prepare for the alleged imminent of the end of the world. For instance, the Branch Davidians stockpiled firearms and explosives in Waco, Texas, compound over the 1980s and 90s to prepare for the apocalypse. This led to an infamous standoff with the federal government. Let's be real. It wasn't a standoff. The Branch Davidians lit the ATF the fuck up because they did it all wrong, in my personal opinion. Because I watched that episode on Netflix, and rather than just walking up to the door and be like, hey, Mr. Koresh, can you come downtown and talk to us? They tried surrounding the building, and I don't know about you, Ken, but if a bunch of people showed up to my house and surrounded it, I don't know if I would be so...
Such an act of aggression could be misinterpreted.
Right? You know what I mean? A bunch of people show up and BDUs and stuff. I'm going to have... picking up and putting down.
Yeah, you gotta kind of like announce your intention. Yeah, who you are.
Hey, come on down, talk to us. So we have a warrant. You know, that's what we wanna. You know, it could have been handled differently.
It could have been.
Handled but what they did was they surrounded the buildings and a bunch of people stuck rifle barrels out there and lit up four ATF agents. Which, I mean, I feel bad for the ATF guys and their families of those who died and who were injured. But that was a big time fuck up. But my point being is, I don't entirely blame them for their initial actions. Just being impartial here.
Okay.
I'm not saying they should have been stockpiling weapons, but then again, I mean, who does?
No.
I believe it alone.
The Heaven's Gate thing, wasn't that the same deal? Like, well, that wasn't Doomsday, I guess.
That wasn't like Doomsday. They believed some comet was going to come and take them to heaven. That's a little bit of a difference. Doomsday cults, so comparison to Freemasonry, we're not stockpiling shit. Maybe alcohol.
We don't really talk about end of the world or any of that kind of stuff anywhere in our ritual that I can think of. Obviously, we do have the concept of memento mori, which is remember that you're mortal.
Yeah, right? We have.
You have an afterlife you have to worry about, but it's not.
Talk more about an afterlife, like you're being judged in the afterlife. Albert Pike, one of his famous things, where I can't remember the exact quote off the top of my head, is not what we do in life. I'm gonna screw this fucking up. But basically, he, in a sense, paraphrasing here, he talked about it's the things we do during the life that make us immortal in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
Live how you want to be remembered after you're gone.
Right. And it's not the central focus of our tenets either. It's not something that we harp on. So I think Doomsday Cult is pretty much...
There's no Doomsday Cult. Yeah. There are lodges that talk about if shit hits the fan, what are we going to do?
That's just a couple guys talking.
A couple guys bullshitting. And it's never done during lodge.
No.
It's done after lodge. Again, we talk about after lodge stuff. I firmly believe that after lodge is an extension of lodge.
Yep.
Political cults. Political groups on both the left and the right can morph into cults. Jenga Lakic wrote an entire account, I think that's how you say it, of her own experience in such an environment. Political cults, we stray, contrary to popular belief, we stray very far away from having any discussion about religion and politics and lodge. It's not going to happen. You will get thrown the fuck out and even brought up on Masonic charges.
Yep.
Potentially. If you decide to go on your soapbox, your political soapbox during an open lodge, as I talked about after lodge, sure, we talk about it, but it's not a Freemason quote-unquote sanctioned conversation.
Yeah, and it's also kind of, even after lodge, it's kind of frowned upon. Like, you'll see a couple brothers stray away from those types of topics if they if they come up. And the reason for that is really because these kinds of things are divisive, right? They divide brothers. They break the harmony of the brotherhood that we're supposed to always preserve.
I mean, realistically, let's talk about it in terms of Morningstar Lodge. Let's just say 99.9% of Morningstar Lodge is of a right-leaning opinion.
Okay.
We have a certain amount of opinions that everybody kind of believes the same thing. But if somebody came in who was left-leaning, you know, you also don't want to have these conversations in front of them because you're going to push them away from joining us or being part of our conversation. So, yeah. You know.
And it's not what the lodge is.
And let's
to
be real. There's good and bad on both sides of the coin. There are people who are, you know, way out there on the right. There are people way out there on the left. And that shouldn't inhibit a proper discourse.
Right.
Conversation.
Yep.
And if you have an entire lodge that's basically right-leaning, that's talking about this openly, you might alienate that brother to be like, these guys are fucking assholes. I want nothing part of
them. Yeah, you absolutely
you don't talk about it.
That's a violation of one of our
you hold your opinions. Tenets. Your opinions are fine. I would strongly suggest, while we're on that topic, if you have a far left or a far right opinion, keep the fuck off social media. Stop. Like, I'm just putting it out there. Like, even in your private life, you're entitled to your own opinions, but, you know, come on now. Like, this is, especially if you have other brothers on your Facebook page or your social media account.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
because you are technically, yeah, that's something that you really have to consider. Like, what is your social media footprint look like if you become a Mason? Because all those friends of yours that just so happen to be Masons, it's not just like Facebook is a free-for-all. You're still correct. Supposed to live for your, you know, toward your obligations.
And by no means am I saying that it should be monitored by a Grand Lodge or
no, doesn't have
some
to
or a district deputy should come in and be like, hey, I've seen your Facebook, and that's very unmissable.
We're Masons. We're supposed to police ourselves.
We're supposed to police ourselves. We're supposed to, you know, I'm just saying, dude, just be careful. You can have your opinions. Mm-hmm. Just be careful about the real egregious shit. Yeah. You know, and it's not a matter of I don't think you should have an opinion. You're allowed to have an opinion whatever you want. It's free country, First Amendment, baby.
Yep.
But you will still look like an asshole. And the last thing I want is for a brother to look like an asshole. And there are some brothers out there who put their opinions out there that look like an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it at that. Religious cults. Spiritual beliefs serve as the bedrock for many cults. Some cults often are all... Damn, I can't even read basic words this morning.
Nope.
Some cults are offshoots of mainline religions, while others offer brand new dogmas and theology. So, I am going to take the fucking... I'm going to take the... What's the word? I'm going to take the contrary.
Oh, you're going to take the devil's advocate type position here? Okay.
I have said this before. That I don't fall in line with a mainstream religion. I don't. I don't believe in it. Understand the good book was written by prophets, but religion is made by man. And I don't particularly believe. I get it. It's all taken on faith. But I don't particularly believe that Jesus gives a shit whether or not you eat meat on a Friday. He doesn't care. As long as you live as a good person. I mean, you go out and you're John Wayne Gacy and you're freaking burying people in your basement, but I don't eat meat on Friday, I'm going to be saved. This is not. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Picking up what I'm putting down here?
Yeah, I mean, this is also...
You're still a shitbag, even though you don't eat meat on Fridays. I'm just saying.
This is the opinion of George.
This is the opinion of me. Yeah. So, and again, I'm going back on the religious cult thing. Some cults are offshoots of mainline religions. So I'm okay with offshoots of mainline religions. It's when you take that and you make it egregious and you make it bad. You know what I mean? When you could read the Book of Revelation all day long. It's terrible shit listening to the Book of Revelation. But when you turn that reading into a, you need to do this because this is what's going to happen. That's where I have a problem. That's where I draw the line. It's
luckily here in Freemasonry, we are essentially a religiously agnostic organization.
Yes.
And obviously, we've said this a million times, right? I think everybody kind of knows this by now. But if you're a new listener, hey, you have to believe in deity to become a Mason. Yeah. You can't even get in the door and become an entered apprentice if you don't believe in some divine power. We don't say who that is. It can be whomever you want.
Hey, Ligarius. What's up, man?
Right. So, because of that, it's really hard to say that Freemasonry is any kind of a religious cult. Correct. Because you can be whatever religion you want.
I mean, and realistically, let's be real. There are good people in every religion. Good friend of mine, Omar. He's Muslim. Good dude. Solid guy. Nice. You know, you have your extreme Islam, which is where they're blowing up buildings and everything. But you also have the same damn thing in Christianity.
Yeah, there's Timothy extreme McVeigh. Shoots of a lot of different.
There's good and bad in everything, and I don't particularly subscribe to one religion which saying I'm going to be saved, but this guy's going to hell. I don't agree with that. I just don't. I get to know people for who they are, and that's who I surround myself with, good people, and I don't give a shit what religion you are, what race, religion, or creed, or sexual orientation. I don't care about that. I don't. I just don't. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'm going off on a tear here. But
you are. Yeah. Pretty sure Freemasonry could not be classified as a religious cult.
Nope. Last one. Sex cult.
Really? That's a thing? That's like one of the top four types of cults?
That's what it says.
Sex cult.
All types of cults might have a component of sexual abuse, but there's some focus on sex as one of their primary functions. For instance, New York-based NXIVM encouraged rampant sexual behavior between its group members before dissolving.
I never heard of that.
Well, I mean, David Koresh was taking minors and shit as his... he was having sex with... He basically told all the husbands of wives that you need to be celibate, but I'm going to bring your wife in the back and we're going to have some hanky-panky.
Yeah, but I don't think that was like the key part of... That was just like him going on a power tear and just being a general psychopath and shitbag. But like, I don't think that was the core of that group. I've never heard of this one that's based in New York City where it was like it was fundamentally just go and have an orgy all the time.
Ken.
Like, how do you base a cult on
Ken?
On just orgies? I don't.
If you ever touch me inappropriately, I'm going to fuck you up.
I think that's established.
Ligarius Thomas, I'm supposed to come up to Connecticut soon to hang out with some Marine buds that moved out there and for some work. We'll definitely get my travel papers from Grand in order so that I can hopefully visit. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
We just had, what's his name up here?
Jesse Loney.
Yeah. Listen, man. I'm all for having guests and I'm all for having meeting people and everything. Just, we got some crazies out there, so...
Make sure you have your lodge paperwork.
Make sure you have your lodge paperwork, and unfortunately, we have to do this. We've got some wackadoos that have said I want to meet you guys, but...
Yeah, there are some...
So,
as soon as your name gets out there, they come out of the woodwork.
Yes,
so
they do.
We have to do our due diligence.
Yes, we do, but we'd be happy to have you. Yeah, so there's no. We don't even talk about sex in Lodge.
No, it has zero relevance to any of our ritual that I can think of.
No,
it's not mentioned.
Not at all. Not even procreation. Not even anything of that nature. It's all about being a good person. It's nothing about procreation. Nothing about desire or anything of that nature. It doesn't even come up. It's not even a thing. That's a big...
There is some scripture that appears in some parts of our ritual that I guess if you interpret it in a particular way, it could be construed to talk about that kind of stuff. And like, getting old and waxing infirm and, stuff doesn't work the way that it used to. Outside of that, I can't really think of...
So let's just go over some cults here. We're still good. And then we'll do why do people join a cult, and then we'll call it. Heaven's Gate, inspired by a Book of Revelation. There you go. None of our ritual is from the Book of Revelation, period. Not even in there. None of our ritual.
Yeah.
Quote me if I'm wrong.
No, I think you're correct.
Morning, open X. Heaven's Gate, they inspired to the Book of Revelation, which tends to be a
staple. Pretty dark, man.
It's a staple of most cults, is that it's the Book of Revelation. Bonnie Nettles and Marshall Applewhite formed Heaven's Gate as a doomsday cult with a focus on UFOs. We don't even talk about them either. In 1997...
Well, I mean, we did have an episode on UFOs.
I'm talking about Lodge. Don't talk about that shit. All members died in a mass suicide. Yeah, and we don't subscribe to mass suicides either. They were in an effort to ride a comet passing by the Earth. I don't know how that works, but you got a better chance of strapping your ass to a rocket, but whatever. The People's Temple. This is Jim Jones. Charismatic preacher from the United States. Oh, by the way, while we're on that subject, we don't do miracles either.
Yeah, no, there's no...
It's a miracle to get everybody to agree on friggin' dinner.
Yeah.
That's a miracle. Yep. But there's no miracles. One of the things Jim Jones did was he would make people... He had actually plants. He said he can heal people, and when he magically couldn't heal people, he had people actually put chicken gizzards in their mouth, and he would touch them on the head and say, "Oh, you have cancer. I'm going to cure you of your cancer." And they would spit out the turkey gizzards as if they were the cancer saved, was leaving their body. Yeah. We don't do any of that shit. There's no saving. There's no none of that shit. You save yourself. Some people are beyond that too.
And your brother's got your back.
Nor are they
going to circumstances, correct. But we can't work miracles in this.
Nope.
No. Yeah.
And we're not going to make you move to Guyana and drink the Kool-Aid.
No.
That's actually where that comes from, drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yes,
I know. But, we're not making you move to Guyana. You're not giving up your life. You know, there's nobody holding your nuts to a flame here to stay in Lodge. The Unification Church, a new religious movement that began in South Korea. The Unification Church spreads to the rest of the world. All adherents follow the teachings of some young guy. It's Sun Myung Moon, but I'm being funny. Hence the colloquial nickname, the Moonies. The Moonies.
Canonical?
Canonical.
Is it really?
Colonical.
Colonical.
It's a nickname.
Colloquial. Colloquial, dude.
Colloquial. They call themselves the Moonies. That's pretty funny.
Well, I don't know if they call themselves that. I think that's like the colloquialism for those that are not members
the
of
Moonies.
The code, because the guy's name is Moon. Yeah, I wouldn't imagine.
Well, I think it's, hey, you guys! Jesus. Goonies, Moonies. I mean, it's close. All right, so let's talk about why people join cults as opposed to masonry. People join cult movements for various reasons, most of which revolve around the desire for meaning and community. All right, I can make a comparison to that. That's us. Many who become part of such organizations have troubled backgrounds. Wrong. That's different. And difficulty fitting into society. Wrong. We don't do that shit. You have to be an upstanding son of a bitch, background checks and all.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not a good dude and you have a questionable background, there's no guarantee you're getting into Freemasonry.
No.
If you're a child diddler, you're definitely not getting in. If you're a murderer, you're definitely not getting in. If you're a big-time drug kingpin, you're not getting in.
Correct.
I mean, if you get into a little pissing match outside of a bar, you still might not get in.
Yeah.
Yep,
you have to be of good report.
Good report.
Before the world.
They may also feel mainstream culture has no place for them and nothing of spiritual value to offer either. Yeah, we don't pray on that shit. We don't look for converts. We don't look for any of that stuff.
Because like, we're not a religion.
Different than religions. Religions look for converts. We don't look for converts. You, as a matter of fact, we didn't even ask you to join. We want you.
No, yeah, you have to belong to some religion or ascribe to some, like believe in some higher power to even become a member of Freemasonry. We don't.
But I'm saying whereas cults and religion, such as Catholic Church, whether they look for converts, they look for people to, you know, to save. We're not doing any saving.
No.
We're not chasing people down either.
Nope.
We're not in looking fact, we for don't anybody. Recruit. We don't go knock on doors. Hey, have you heard the lot? Have you seen the lot? We don't do that shit.
You have to knock on ours, in fact, in this jurisdiction. So.
Somebody I was just talking to recently was talking about how he wanted to ask his uncle about Freemasonry, but he didn't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. He knew his uncle was a Mason, and I said, basically, I bet you your uncle's waiting for you to ask him.
Yeah.
Because your uncle can't ask you.
You can just say, tell me about this whole Freemasonry thing.
Not going to do it.
He's not going to be offended by that.
Former cult members often subscribe to the long-lasting sense of loneliness and nihilism.
Nihilism?
Nihilism.
Yeah, like nothing matters.
Yep.
This doesn't matter.
They felt prior to becoming part of something bigger themselves. Yeah, that's a big praying move. Like, that's a big thing.
Yeah,
like,
you look for people that are psychologically weak or damaged, and they tend to be good converts for cults.
Yeah, because they now they feel like they're bigger than in something bigger than themselves. That's what I meant to say.
They put value behind their...
And actually, that was the next line. This encourages them to put down their defenses and accept stranger elements of their new communities. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you can... You can compare that to, like, the first time you get knuckled in the prep room.
I don't think so.
Some people might be like, fuck that. I ain't taking my clothes off. I'm just saying. Yeah. But you do it anyway. I want to be clear. You're not naked. You just change into a ceremonial type of garb.
Yeah, but we never tell people, hey, you're doing this because, I don't know, like, Jesus wants you to or some nonsense like right. that. Like, it's just part of the...
But in a sense, you're still putting your defenses down.
The ceremony. Yeah, that's true. But certainly not to the same degree as
a
mainstream cult.
Just playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
Of course, this has sometimes led to horrific and even deadly outcomes in extreme circumstances. Not in our case.
I can't think of...
It's that would be more of the fringe groups, your clandies. They do shit like that. They're whooping people with paddles and shooting cans over their heads and stuff. Crazy shit like that.
Yeah.
Discover what makes people tick. Getting to the core of human behavior takes knowledge and skills. Just ask former FBI criminal profiler John Douglas. Learn how to spot a liar and uncover John's tips for identifying. Yeah, it's a
book. Is this like an ad?
It's a book plug. No. It's an article. So anyway, I think you see the differences between a cult and masonry. We don't force you to be here. You're not being saved. There's no one leader at the top.
No miracles. No religious...
I mean, it would be a miracle to get Messner to shut the fuck up and lodge, but tomato, tomato.
The fact that he doesn't have to shows that we're not a cult.
And there's your sign. So, we don't ascribe to any of that. So, what do you think? Think we put a fork in that one?
I think we did pretty well. And, if you guys think that there were elements of this topic that we didn't cover, please let us know.
So,
I'm happy to cover it next episode.
We'll just talk about a couple updates that we're planning on doing. There's been a string of bombings and shootings outside of Masonic lodges.
Over the last couple of years, there's been fires, all kinds of.
Yep. So we're gonna start a new segment. We're gonna call it the Shitbag of the Month.
Oh, John.
In which we're gonna call these people out, and it doesn't. You could be somebody who's just bashing us on Twitter.
No, let's not put people on blast.
Just their profiles, not people. Just. It doesn't have to be. It's going to be nameless, but we're going to put up a stupid meme that you decided to put up, and basically saying, "Oh, this is a Masonic sign," and it's somebody doing the Schwartz, right?
I don't mind doing like a calling out conspiracy theorists.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, we're going to call them shitbag of the week,
okay?
Or shitbag of the month, and we're going to tell them why you're wrong and you're an idiot. And then what was the other segment I wanted to do? Can't remember.
God,
I come up with all these
one
ingenious ideas all the time. We're also going to do the prank call.
I think we just stick with Real Brothers Ingenious on occasion.
We're going to do that too.
Day. Prank calls.
I thought it would be fun to have a brother who stayed on the phone with us, and we prank call them, and we do a prank call. And then we obviously have the brother on the phone with us. We'd three-way call it, and that brother can just say he got... prank call.
All in good fun, though.
All in good fun. Yeah, well, we're going to come up with some stuff, and we're going to prank call. I think it's a great idea. I think it's ingenious.
We are descending into chaos.
All in fun.
Okay.
Brothers break each other's balls, right?
That's true.
We break each other's balls. Now, why not spread our wealth?
Okay. All right.
Spread the cement.
maybe
the cement's shit, but whatever. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be a fun segment to do where we have a brother say, "Hey, man, this is my good buddy. He's a brother of mine. He's a good Mason and Lodge. I want to screw with him." And we do it.
You are a pretty good idea, man, when it comes to like screwing with other people. So I think we could easily put something together.
Somebody
were to
open X. All I heard was three-way, which was exciting until you said funk. You got to join a cult to do that.
Yeah, apparently. You got to join one of them sex cults that apparently exist in New York. Oh.
All right, Ken, I have under boob sweat because it's hot as hell up here. What do you say?
It is pretty toasty. I agree.
I hope you guys enjoyed this. We'll be back with more. We've had some busy lives and busy stuff going on.
Indeed. And birthdays. But winter's coming up, and winter's that's the perfect up. Time that's to perfect record. That's perfect time,
so yep. We've had some up. Birthdays and vacations and surgeries and stuff that have gone on, me in particular. I got my boar punched, and we'll leave it at that.
I don't know what boar punched means.
So in the military, when you clean a gun...
The boar, like B-O-R-E. Okay, got it. I thought you were talking about like punching like a pig in the face or something.
Punch the boar.
Right, no. Punch the boar, punch like cleaning the rifle
clean, yeah,
barrel.
Cleaning the okay. rifle, yeah. So
that's gross.
I had to get rid of some cancer.
That makes it even worse. Now that's all I can think about.
That was my point, Ken. I've just now ruined your Sunday.
But you're George, how you gone. Feeling? You doing better?
I'm doing better, yeah, okay. I'm good. Pain's gone.
Good.
Cancer's gone, so we're doing good. We're rocking out.
Glad to
I'm not dead
brother.
Yet. I feel fine.
No, come far on. From
what
it.
Movie?
Brother.
What movie?
That was it. Wasn't Life of Brian, was it? It Brian, was Monty Python and Search for the Holy Grail.
Remember when they bring out your dead?
Yeah.
Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling, bring out your
I
dead.
I don't want to go on the cart.
But I'm not dead yet. Yes, you are. No, I'm fine. It's getting better.
And, like wings him over the head or something.
Yeah,
right?
Whacks him in the head.
Yeah. Classic comedy.
Yeah. There was a lot. There was something that you said before we started this thing that I wanted you to slide in here, and I forgot to give you the prompt.
Well, you didn't set it up.
I didn't set up the joke.
Yeah. I think we were talking earlier about something. Was it about parenting or something in general or whatever?
No.
I don't remember what precipitated it, but I basically did the line from The Sopranos where Tony Soprano's daughter is dating some new guy, and Tony really doesn't like him, so he's harassing him and, you know, threatening him and stuff like that.
That's right.
And the wife is like, Tony, you keep pushing her, and you're going to push her right into his arms. And he's like, not if I cut them fucking arms off. And it's just... That's kind of like always stayed. I love that line. It's always stayed in the back of my mind in like any parenting scenarios, right? Where it's
there
just
was
like,
some good. There was some good, you know, shit in that show. He was funny.
Yeah, he passed away too, right?
Yeah. James goes, oh,
that's sad.
Oh, damn, dude.
Oh my god, you're fucking, you're
this
killing
is,
me.
This
dude.
Is how people get
you're
shot.
Killing me, Alex. So we were talking, apparently we like summoned him or something. We were talking about our Alex. Brother Alex in the Esoteric Club earlier, and he just materialized out of the ether behind my monitor and scared the
rando pops in and scared the shit out of us.
What's going on,
boys? I think I peed a little.
People screaming for Esoteric, so at some point you need to come on.
Yeah, here you are.
Here you are.
Now that we're an hour and 7 minutes in.
Popped
the
out of the ether. All right, Ken, shut it down.
All right.
Bullshit with Alex.
Thank you for that, Alex.
For the Freemasons Podcast, I'm Right Worshipful Brother George Marjorie. Sign it off.
Worshipful Brother Ken, get me some of my heart meds.
Shit my pants. Have a good night.
Bye, everybody.
Asshole!